Man, it moves my heart. This morning, I had a whole bunch of different intros I had rehearsed in my mind, and you know, seeing our youth up here, man. I want to say thank you to a lot of different people. You know, what you saw this morning doesn't happen by accident. You don't just wake up and say, hey, we're just going to lead a whole service, all right? And so this is what we're going to do. So there's a lot of different moving parts. You know, you saw our teens usher and greet today. So I want to thank Roger Bennett for getting them prepared. You know, we got a coffee station. I want to thank Pam Hanna for helping our teens in middle schools be a part of that. You know, I want to thank the wards. They spent countless hours preparing our teens to worship and sing. And it just moves my heart. All these songs you heard was picked by the teens, by the way. These songs was in their hearts. So I want to thank you. I want to thank the sound crew. Got my boy. I was talking to Zach. Zach is back there. Zach is back there. He's helping out. I said, Zach, make sure my mic is right. Don't mess me up. I know a guy. Take care of me. You know, I want to thank Carly. Carly has been, you know, I told last night, Carly has been one of the unsung heroes for this teen ministry. And I can't say enough how grateful I am to be partnering with you and trying to lead this next generation. So I thank you. Thank you. You know, last night we had Northview, we had Athens, Cornerstone. So it might seem a little rowdy in here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. Last night, well, yesterday, we spent the whole day together from 10 a.m. to 9 something. And again, all that we put, all the plans that went into place, it still wasn't just one person. I want to thank the parents. You guys provided the meals. Y'all fed teenagers. And they were full. And you know how hard it is to fill a belly of a teenager. We had extra. So we thank you, parents, for providing the meals. You know, I want to say a special shout out to Jose and Steve. Last night, they put together a fire pit out there in the back so that we can have, just a little bit of, a small piece of the swamp right in our backyard, you know? It was incredible. It was an incredible time. You know, I want to take a special time to just also, I want to ask Danny and Katie to stand up. Yeah. They lead the teen ministries out at Northview. And you know, it was so special yesterday because Danny came up here and he did the devotional for our teens. And it hit me that he was homegrown, that he used to worship here. His towel is still in our teen room. It's still there. We need to renovate, but it's amazing to see, I mean, and just see his connection with all these teens. He has connection with Northview, Athens, and Cornerstone. It's amazing. Last night, Will, where you at, Will? Stand on up, Will. Yeah, come on up, stand up, man. You know, he works with the teens in Athens alongside Allison Collier. Yup. And we have Jeff and Cindy, stand up, please. They lead the youth and family ministry in Athens. And a special thank you to all you teens. Yeah. I mean, look, like, this place is rocking with energy. And we thank you guys. Thank you so much for being here. You know, like I said, it moves my heart to see the youth up here. Not for a song and dance, not to you know, show their talents, which they have a lot of talent. Let's not get it twisted. They have a lot of talent. But it's not about that. It's about what's in their heart. And they want to worship. I had one of our teens ask me, do you think the adults are going to take us seriously on Sunday? I was like, what? Are they going to take you serious? This is not a dog and pony show. They love you guys. And so, the teens, it's our future. They're our future. When I sat there and I was looking at them, I was like, that's our future. And so it's so fitting that today's title, it always happens. I've rehearsed it 1,000 times. Okay, we're just gonna go manual. How about that? We just go manual. There we go. Passing the torch. Passing the torch. When you see these teens, do you see the future? Do you see it? Or do you see a bunch of misfits? Do you see, oh, they're lazy. Oh, they just, you know, look how they go about making these decisions. Or do you see the future? Now, again, I get it. There are some concerns when you mingle with teens. I get it. They may not talk the same. They may not walk the same. And so for some of us, you know, we probably came in here kind of confused about whether or not I'm a millennial. And so I said, well, let me kind of, you know, throw out a few things and kind of help you along in case you're trying to figure out if you're a millennial or not. If you hear the word throwing shade and you think you got to go get an umbrella, chances are you're not a millennial. If someone texts you, yes, and they spell it Y-A-A-A-A-S, and you think it's a typo, chances are you're not a millennial. If you hear the word turnt and you start spinning around, chances are you're not a millennial. If you hear the word ratchet and you decide to go into the garage and try to get a tool, chances are you're not a millennial. But that's okay. It's okay. It is okay. Because you know what? We have some baby boomers in here. We got some Gen X's in here. Right? And so maybe you are a millennial. Here's a few things you can do to kind of find out. If punishment means you go outside to play, chances are you're a millennial. If you text faster than you type, chances are you're a millennial. Chances are. You know? If your textbook is on your phone, chances are you're a millennial. But it's all right. It's all right. Because guess what? You're our future. With all your differences, with all of your different likes and feelings and all these different things that goes on in your life, you're our future. And so we gotta pass this torch, right? But before we pass this torch, we gotta figure out, well, where do we come from? Where are we coming from?
Next slide. We gotta look at the past, because with every generation, there's someone always giving it to the next. There's always. When you think about a relay race, and you think the most important part of a relay race is how fast you run. That's not quite. Because that exchange of the baton, that's the most critical part of the race. Because if you drop that baton, or you're reaching back and it's not a clean exchange, that costs you the race. Because the difference between winning and losing is just a fraction of a second. And you won't make up that time. And so for all my track runners, you can relate. You know what I'm talking about. There's that little window where that exchange happens. And so for us, you know, as we're exchanging this baton, we're giving this baton to the next generation, what are we passing on? That's what I want to talk about for a second. Okay, I was hoping it was going to work eventually. But that's all right. Next slide, please. In Judges chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take the possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Now, just to kind of give you a background, you got to think about this. The first generation was Moses, right? And he was raised up and he led the Israelites out of Egypt. So that generation saw God working in their lives. They witnessed it. They tasted it. They were there when the Red Sea parted. They saw all the plagues. They saw God working in their life firsthand. And then Moses got to a point where he had to pass the torch, and Joshua was ready. Joshua was in the wings. He was like this. He was reaching back. Give me that torch. And he took that torch, and his generation served the Lord. They did. They did it. They seen a lot of great things. Joshua was probably considered the greatest military mind in the Bible. He accomplished many things in his generation. And just like us, we've seen a lot of things with God. He's rescued us. We've seen it firsthand. This service could be about come on up and share what God has done. We can easily talk about that. And then it was time to pass that baton again because Joshua has to go. But let's see what happened to that next generation. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the people around them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Man, let that sink in for a minute. You go from one generation where you was crying out to God to save you out of slavery. He provides. The next generation comes up, take you into the promised land, forcefully conquering different nations. And then another nation comes and doesn't even know who God is. How does that happen? How? It drives me crazy sometimes. I think about when I read the Gospels. Like, man, you saw Jesus walk on water and you still killed him? You saw with your own eyes. You touched it. I'm so far removed from this time. And yet I believe sometimes. I have doubts sometimes. But they tasted it. And yet a generation has gone without knowing the Lord. Not only did they not know him, I mean, they went beyond not knowing him. They forsook him. They found other gods to go serve. Multiple. That next generation. This next generation. This world is telling us, forget this generation. Satan says, I got this generation. This is my generation. What say you? What say you who've seen the Lord and know what he's done? What say you to the next generation? Will you pass that baton of faith? Will you pass the baton of doubt? Will you pass the torch of anger or frustration or bitterness of the past? Is that what we want to give the next generation? Because they will end up not knowing who the Lord is. They will. This is not a fairy tale. This is real. You know, I stand here before you because someone reached out to me when I was a teen. I was converted as a teen. And men in my life saw something that was not there yet. I was not a leader at first. I was rough. Yeah. That's my sister-in-law, by the way. We actually led the teens together. She could tell you a few stories. I was rough. But I had men who said, nah, you're the future, buddy. So I'm going to take you under my wing. And we're gonna work some stuff out. And I'm going to pass that baton. And when you grab that baton, you better run, brother. But what say you? Are we passing that baton to the next generation, or are we already writing them off? Are we already distracted by life's worries and saying, you know what, maybe this is, you know, maybe not this generation, maybe the next. Next slide, please. You know, you gotta ask that question, well, how can that happen, right? Well, there's two things that scholars believe. One, it was the leadership, right? Yeah, Joshua, yeah, he was a man of God, and maybe his family was, but you gotta remember, you know, there was a Levitical priesthood responsible for teaching God's law. And perhaps they failed to continue to teach. Like the church, we failed to continue to teach. We get together, we might have a good time, but we fail to teach. Another reason is in Deuteronomy 6. I can't read over there, so I'm going over here because I'm getting a little older. I'm turning around here. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and your gates. That's not the church right there. That's mom and dad's. That's mom and dad's right there. That's not priesthood. That's not, you know, Aaron and them. No. That's mom and dad. That's mom and dad right there. Impress them on your children. I mean, I to think about impressing something on your kid, it's almost physically visual on them, perhaps. Can you imagine we're all here with symbols around our hands? Every note, cling, 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 cling. Reminding you of the Lord. It makes the assumption that we're going to be home. It makes the assumption, it says, talk about them when you sit at home. It's expected that mom and dad are home with your kids and not pawning them off to someone else to do the job for you. It's there. Write them on your door frames. What does that look like? Is it just devotionals at home? Maybe. I mean, I like to look at it as, your faith should be it should be physical, like it should be visual. Like you should be able to see the faith. Your kids should see your faith. Sometimes we might think that it's gonna be done by osmosis, that they'll catch it. And there might be some truth to it, right? You gotta set the example, and you don't wanna force it on them. But it's gotta be more than that. At least that's what didn't happen to this next generation. We know that. We know when we don't do this, a generation will rise that don't know who God is. I'm getting the cue that it will work. So where are we now? We know that, okay, the baton is being passed. And another, just as another side note, we gotta be willing to pass that. I mean, I heard some great speakers up here. Fenton, brother, you might not be here too long. Lexi and Micah, man, to the heart. You know, as a dad, I think it's one of the most challenging things to raise your kids in the Lord. It's easier to raise an athlete. It's easy to raise a child to be academically astute. I think raising a child in the Lord has to be the most difficult task I have undergone. And I love my kids. You know, me and Kayla, we have our daddy-daughter breakfast every Thursday. She won't let me forget it. You know, sometimes I might try to add something onto the calendar. My wife says, no, you will not. It's hard. And I love my daughter. I can't imagine what a man who does not have the Spirit, what they have to do to try to raise a child. And in the end, to the Lord. But I want to talk to the fathers for a second. Some stats I want you to consider. Now, these are stats done for fathers who attend church, okay? It says 1 out of 50 will become a regular member if the father doesn't attend. If the father does attend, 60 to 70% chance that the child will become a regular member as an adult. Another survey found that if a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% probability that everyone in the house will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, 17% probability. However, when the father is first, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. Fathers, you have to lead your house. Fathers, you have to lead your house. Mothers are important, extremely important. But here's the thing. Mother's greatest intentions will not overcome a father's lack of leadership. They will not. My wife is incredible. She's a high achiever. She has like 6 degrees. She's a ninja. She does all these incredible things. She does. But if I'm not leading, what does that say? I want you to think about that for a minute. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I got that word, fathers, bold, underlined, italicized, quotation mark, parentheses, even the font is bigger than the actual verse. Fathers, the experience of your child living in your home should be a positive one. They should not count the days until graduation where they leave. It's real. I've led ministries where I had teens were counting the day. They could not wait to get out from under their family for the wrong reasons. I appreciate Micah saying, hey, you know, I'm thinking about graduation. I'm thinking about these things, you know. But he put God first. He made Jesus Lord. So he knows his priorities in life. And so him wanting to go off to a college, that's not a bad thing. But if they can't wait because they want to escape the oppression of their household, what are we saying? What are we doing? It says that you are the ones to train your kids. I love your kids. I will invest every drop that I have in them. But it's not my job. It's not. It's not Kids Rock's job. It's not the small group leader job. It's not a paid professional's job. It's not the private Catholic school or private Christian schools. Or it's not their job. Fathers, it is up to us to be present, not just be in presence. Sometimes we think because we're home that we're home. I've learned that. I'm still learning that right now. Working in full-time ministry, my wife is like, babe, you're home, but you're not engaged. You're not engaged. It's real. I understand the challenges. You know, I used to work at 9 to 5 or 9 to 8 and 10-hour days, and you come home and you're like, I just need to relax for a minute. Satan says, I'm not relaxing. You go take a break. I'll be over here working on this generation. I'll be over there while you do what you gotta do. I grew up in a house where my mom had to do everything. My mom had to, you know, work as hard as she can and provide as much as she can. My father did not teach me the ways of the Lord. He was not present. He was not at home. And yet I still stand because of the grace of God. And again, I don't want to devalue the roles of women, because my mom was planting seeds in me because my father was not. But that's not all of our cases. Now, that's not all of us. Mom and dad are home in this church, from what I can tell, for the majority. And so that means we have to claim the responsibility. We have to forcefully take it, because it's up to us to pass that torch. We gotta pass it. You know, there's a couple of myths out there when it comes to passing the faith to the next generation. I said one of them earlier is this idea that of osmosis, that it's just gonna happen because I'm just gonna live it and I'm not gonna really force it on them. I'm just gonna kinda just let it, like a perfume you spray and just like walk into it. Like they're gonna kinda like get it. And no, that's not biblical. That's a good idea, might, maybe, but it's not biblical. You know, another myth is that this is for the professionals. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. What do I know about the Word of God and teaching these young ones? Leave it to the pros to do that. It's a myth. God says it's up to us. We gotta pass that torch on. And the last myth is probably a sad one, is that some of us may think it's not worth it. It's not worth this headache. It's a lot of work to raise the kids in the Lord. It requires sacrifices. It requires hours and hours of patience in a day. But it's worth it. Because when you sit over here and you see the future up here, you say it's worth it then. But until then, you gotta put in that work. You have to. So where are we going? We're going to you guys. That's where we're going. We don't have no choice as parents. We're not gonna skip a generation and wait for your younger brother to figure it out or younger sister. You are future. And one of the things I so appreciate about Cornerstone, there's a culture here that loves their youth. You know, I was very blown away by how active our kids are in just the general day in and day out of this worship service. You know, we regularly have, you know, Micah on the drums and Mason on the keys. You know, sometimes we have some of our middle school and some of our teens will come up and sing sometimes. You know, we have teens that participate in the kids ministry, you know, as a large group leader or put on some little events for the kids. I think that's wonderful. I think that's great as a church that we infuse our kids into the worship because it helps them have a claim, a stake in this. It makes them say, nah, I'd rather be here because I'm needed here versus what they telling me. I'd rather be here. I'm gonna share something real quick about Micah. And it's incredible because every time, you know, I tell Micah, I said, listen, can we get together? He goes, well, I got orchestra and I got robotics and I got fencing and, you know, and he's always busy. I'm like, yo, you think Metropolis could do a day without you? He's like Superman. I'm like, can Metropolis get one day without you? Well, this so happens, you saw him, he had a speaking engagement up here, and he had to go on this orchestra trip, and you think he left for Thursday till yesterday. Now, mind you, yesterday we had an event, and, you know, he's like, listen, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there late, but I'm going to be there. And some of his friends were giving him a hard time, like his friends at school. They gave him a hard time about wanting to spend time with the teens. And he was like, listen, I'm out of here. Like, this is where I need to be. Why? Because he has a stake in it. He gets it. He has a stake in it. His hand is reaching back for that baton. And that's what I appreciate about Cornerstone. That there's a support that is willing to invest. When I said, hey, Fenton, I said, you know, I think we should have a youth-led service. Before I even finished, he already had a date in mind. He already had a date. And the leadership team, one after one, hey, Kenson, man, we heard about the Loose Left service. It's going to be awesome. We can't wait. We're excited. I'm like, come on, support. Love it. Love it. But we can do more. We can do more as a church. Support Kids Creation and Kids Rock. Or Creation Station, excuse me. You know, as great as I think the teens serving in those classes, part of the reason why is because there's not enough adult volunteers. That's the truth. That's why. Fathers, you should be in there. It shouldn't be left to the women. Great that they want to serve, but I think a man can help a young boy. I think he could get silly and do some stuff in there to help them apply the scriptures. I think it's possible. We can do more. Become a small group leader. You know, we have middle school, and we have the teens, and we have some great people in there serving. But some of them in there for a while. Because they love it, yeah. But we also need more help. You know, are we going to graduate, 11 middle schoolers? 11 middle schools are going to be coming into the teen ministry. I could use a few small group leaders. Can you use a little help? Support. Become a mentor. You might think, well, you know, my teens are adults now, and I'm an empty nester. You know, this is a young man's thing or whatever. I don't know what you think. I don't know. But there's so much that you can offer. Just picking up one of the teens and just going grab a bite to eat once a month. They'll eat whatever you feed them. not really choosy. Millennials, you know, they roll with it. They roll with it. But they, I mean, there's so much you can offer. Don't let your age disqualify you. That's what I would say to that. This is a community of believers. Moms, dads, empty nesters, singles, yo pros, left, right. It doesn't matter. Everybody plays a role. Everybody can take a moment and help pass that torch to the next generation. It says the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. Character and faith is what we should be passing on to this next generation. Character and your faith, your passion, your desire to see the next generation and the generation after to come to know the Lord. That you would not allow this generation to come up and not know who the Lord is. Character and faith should be the legacy that we pass on to this next generation. I want every teen in middle school to stand up right now. You are our future. You. Each and every one of you in here are our future. We're gonna pass this torch to you, but you gotta wanna receive it. You gotta wanna receive this torch, and you run with it. We believe in you. We love you. Despite what they say out there, you belong. Have a seat. I would like every parent to stand up. I would like every single to stand up. Every yo pro. Every empty nester, if possible. That's our future. That is our future. We have to commit to passing this torch. Every day, every opportunity, whether you are an empty nester, whether you have kids in your house now, it doesn't matter. Each and every one of you can pass a torch to this future. Do not let Satan tell you that your job is done. Because your kids are gone. Your job is not done. There's more to give. For the parents, to the dads, this is your future. Do not let this go to waste. Do not let the next generation go and not know who the Lord is. That is the charge to every one of us, with me included. We gotta commit every day with every opportunity to invest and pass that torch to this next generation. Amen.